Thank you for listening to you, me, them, everybody. Did you also know that? In addition to you, me, them, everybody, we also produce You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, 21 and up, and full lineup at youmethemeverybody.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour 9 of Sábado Gigante. Did I say it okay that time, Merle?
No.
Fantastic. I have sitting across from me, this is the nice guy hour.
It is.
This is Chuck Sudo from Chicagoist.
Hola.
And Seth Vanek from Homeroom.
Thank you.
Am I saying your name right, Seth?
Yes.
Okay. Each hour has a theme that we have, and hour 1 was, no offense, Merle's favorite, well, you got comics. Merle's favorite comics was at 2 p.m., we had the Smith family, my favorite married couple. 4 p.m. we had a clusterfuck. 5 p.m. we had the talk show hour. 6 p.m. we had Community You Should Know. 7 p.m. we had our literature hour. 8 p.m. What was it 8 p.m.? Oh, 8 p.m. was the odd couple hour with Junior Stopka and Ever Maynard. 9 p.m. was our improv sketch and stand-up hour. And 10 p.m. is our nice guy hour.
Really? I'm a nice guy?
You are a nice man. You brought booze to the show. Make automatically.
I thought I poisoned you.
You that probably did.
People drank the shit out of it.
Yeah, it was gone by the end of the night. Let's tell the listener at home if they haven't heard that episode. You were on the live show in April, the last show in April at the Hungry Brain.
And I brought some, I think it was 3 or 5 year old glug that I had sitting underneath my sink.
It burned. It burned. That's the only way around it. It burned in your stomach and your throat. But it wasn't bad.
I probably poisoned you.
Probably. Yeah. I didn't sleep that night. I went straight to the airport.
Oh, jeez.
And I was up for about 24 hours that day.
Which probably would have been good if he did poison us.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like not going to sleep if you have a concussion.
Okay.
Yeah, so I definitely was poisoned, but I had Denny's with my mother at 3 a.m. while she cried. So it was okay. That's like the perfect thing.
So you had 5-year-old alcohol and, you know,
and sadness.
Mulled wine, sadness, and, you know, and the Grand Slam?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It was an awful hour. And Seth, I've known for a few years now, and hands down the nicest guy we have producing events at the Hungry Brain.
Oh.
See, he's even modest as
I'll take that as a compliment.
Bye, Angela. That's what we're doing right now. let's talk to people about what you do. Seth, what is Homeroom?
Well, it's a nonprofit organization, and we organize events at a lot of different venues in Chicago, Hungry Brain being the best one.
No, it's not the best. It's one of them. Don't knock the other venues just because you're here. Don't worry about that.
Part of being a nice guy is being disingenuous all the time.
Oh, that's good.
But no, we do a lecture series at Hungry Brain called 101. We do a songwriter series at Elastic in Logan Square. We've been doing concerts for composers at the Viaduct.
How are those going? I didn't even know about that.
Well, we did an experimental run of a concert that was supposed to match up people from the sort of jazz and improv scene and people from the classical and kind of contemporary music scene, and it went well artistically and not well financially, like a lot of things with Homeroom. And so we're gonna try it again.
It's. and you, Chuck, are the editor-in-chief of Chicagoist.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which makes you two of the most culturally in-depth people in this town.
In this room.
No, in this entire city. You kind of have to know about everything that's going on.
Well, you have to have, you know, you have to be on the pulse of a lot, I think.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. Kind of, right?
It is, but it can be very overwhelming because I think since I've taken over, the site's taken on a much more newsier tone.
Is that good or bad?
I think it's good. I think it balances out a lot of the original. You know, it balances out a lot of the wonderful content that our arts and entertainment folks and our food and drink folks do.
Okay.
You know, it's a good balance over the course of the day.
So trying to make a well-rounded meal.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, you've got the meat and you have the vegetables.
So you can't be as snarky as you used to be as well.
I think we can, but
a bad thing?
Yeah. You know, I think we can be irreverent. Yeah. You know, kind of reject the term snark because snark is sarcasm that somebody doesn't agree with or, you know, the person's being, you know, directed to doesn't agree with.
But okay.
I think we could still be irreverent. I think we could still be sarcastic.
Okay.
But I just think, you know, given the site's presence now, especially on the media landscape, mm-hmm. it's not warranted with every single post.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. And you guys are very, very popular.
Yeah.
You're well read, but people read the blog all the time.
Exactly. I think it shows with the growth of the site. I mean, we've been doing quite well in 2011, and I think folks are finally coming around to the recent redesign we've did, which makes the which makes the site look more new, more like an online news magazine than an actual chronological blog.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Gothamist all across the board had a redesign a few months ago, and it's kind of hard to find stuff the first time you're there because now it's news at the top. Is that right? And then like,
well, it still rotates depending upon what's new.
So, oh, really? Okay.
And that's one of the issues with the redesign that I have a problem with. I think, you know, if you're going to go with this what we're calling the pretty mode.
Okay.
I think we should just keep the sections as they are because you have the main section for each beat on the left of the page.
Okay.
And the news stories pop up on that left-hand side as they come along. And but when they come up, you know, not only does the beat change, but also the main page as well. And I think if, you know, people who are looking at the site can see that a new post has happened.
Uh-huh.
But another thing that I really like about the pretty mode is that because, you know, that's the default template now, you don't have to go back two or three pages.
That's true. That's true.
In order to find something that you missed.
So once you get used to it, it's a better design.
Yeah.
It just takes some. There's a learning curve there, which is kind of weird to say for a website.
Exactly. I think what you know, essentially, you know, what it looks like is it looks like what the Gawker redesigns should have looked like.
Got
initially.
It. And this
and,
is
and for folks who are never going to be accepting of the new redesign, they can always go back to the blog mode. I mean, that blog mode's never going to go away.
That's true. So. That's good. That's a very good thing to know. I didn't know that. My head is all over the place. I'm not going to lie. This is hour 9. I'm currently flipping through.
When did it stop being fun? At which hour was
it's
it?
It's still fun.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It is still fun. I want to make it clear. I'm very
still
happy
very
you're here.
Fun.
It's the
still...
nice guy hour can really put a damper on you.
Yeah, we're going to drag this thing right down.
No, there's a reason why I booked you guys at the time I booked you, because I knew if we started like this by this hour, if it was just two more stand-ups, it'd be me screaming at people. Mm. We don't want to do that. We want to have a...
let's have a civil discussion.
It's a hold steady year. Yeah. So what we're going to do is talk about the Chicago Reader. here's why. The Chicago Reader just put out their best of issue. And we have three readers here. I only
brought three. You'll have to share.
I have one.
Nuzzle together.
I have one. Esmeralda has one. I has one. Okay, I'm changing the format now.
Okay.
Seth's going to have one. Chuck's going to have one. And Esmeralda's going to have one. And I want you guys to bring up a topic of one thing you either agree with or disagree with.
I like it.
Here you go. I'm going to hand it to you, Seth. Now, the Chicago Reader is the most read alt-weekly in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an institution. It's been around for 40 years. This is their 40th anniversary. To make things a little bit weirder, I now get paid sometimes by the people that publish the Reader for writing for their sister publication in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you're writing for City Paper.
I'm writing for City Paper.
Okay.
Oh. So this is a total conflict of interest.
Awesome.
But I promise I will be way too honest and probably get in trouble for doing this.
Why would it be a conflict of interest?
Because... maybe it's not a conflict of interest. I probably shouldn't be criticizing the people that sign my checks.
Wait, these are the same people that...
Yeah, Creative Loafing owns this paper, the Washington City paper, and the Alt Weekly in Atlanta as well.
Oh, goodness. So, maybe you shouldn't.
No, I'm still going to do it. And here's why. I've realized I get a lot of shit in the comment sections of all the posts I write, regardless of whether it's
like
positive
what?
Or negative. If I have something... Well, for example, I wrote a theater review... comparing to a piece of performance I saw to a bad Tool video. And I said that it was a pointless exercise in stroking egos. And obviously, the theater company did not like that. And I know that the comment was from somebody in the theater company because there were only 4 people in the audience. And this thing was being staged once a week, so no one else could have seen it, which makes me realize someone in the theater company just doesn't like my review, which is already like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Another piece I've written was about, I said, this is the best stand-up comic in Washington, D.C., and then somebody didn't like that. It's little things like, these
Did
are all
give
opinions.
One?
Yes, they gave one, and the stand-up comic they said is very good, but my criteria was based on best, not my favorite. Best in terms of success level and potential. Anyways.
Well, that's the problem with best, I think. And
that's why we're going to discuss the best of issue.
Yeah.
That's exactly why we're going to do it.
So I'm assuming we should only be looking at
the
readers one
this is
and
the
not
reader.
The poll.
No, we're going to look at the poll as well.
Because that's the
look,
people.
We're going to look at the poll.
Poll. It doesn't matter. I know that, Chuck, you have one right now. What do you have?
Well, I'm looking at page one. And, you know, they've got, you know, I think, you know, the staff has the best bar for quiet reflection on the legacy of Richard J. Daley,
mm-hmm.
which is... Yeah, and one of the things that I think the reader does well is they try to find those out of the way hole in the wall underappreciated places.
But yes.
At the same time, the reader base tends to be North Side-ish.
That is true.
Which and they picked a good bar, Canine's over on Devon.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's a good dive bar, and it's a celebration of everything of Boss Daily. But that's what this is. You know, it's basically they're saying this is quiet reflection.
So
on
do you agree with that?
Region. No.
What do you think it should be?
No, not at all. I think the best one for that would the best reflection for the legacy of Richard J. Daley would be Shinnick's Pub in Bridgeport.
Okay,
because that was his home bar.
I would say I would make it Bacardi at the Park at U.S. Cellular Field.
That's the best reflection of corporate greed. Corporate greed and tiff.
Once again, the best reflection of Richard J. Daley. Anyways, I'd maybe go with Skylark. Skylark has a famous picture of Mayor Cicero on the wall. It's near Bridgeport, but it's not too in-depth.
Anton Cermak, yeah.
Exactly. That's mine. Mm-hmm. But I say that's not too bad of a pick.
See, but Shinnick's, Shinnick's Pub, Shinnick's Pub, which is on 37th and Union, I want to say.
Okay.
38th and Union.
Okay.
That was a place where Richard J. Daley and his lieutenants would often hammer out a lot of deals. And it's earned the nickname Little City Hall.
Yeah, that's why you're on this show, because I didn't know any of that. That's brilliant. No, that's thank you. Perfect. Good way to start.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Have you been there?
I have a couple times.
Not your kind of bar, medium?
I'm chewing ice in the microphone. Wonderful, Chuck. It's a nice historic bar. It's it's over 100 years old. It predates Prohibition. It's got one of those Brunswick bars that classic.
For those of you that don't know, Brunswick's bars were very popular in Chicago, and now a lot of bars will buy them from old hotels or bars that are closing and move them into the bar. Actually, the bar at the Hungry Brain is a Brunswick bar moved from a different bar. But they only were able to keep the front.
But it also carries a lot of that old Bridgeport stigma.
Yeah.
Like, Scott Smith, who was here earlier, and we tried to go to a Sox game a few years back. And we stopped for a beer at Shinnick's.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hearing stories about race riots and murders under the viaduct. and we decided, maybe an old style in a can is probably not worth drinking it here. It's a beautiful bar, beautiful people. But I think a lot of those old
racist
moors, I wouldn't say racist, those old neighbor tendencies, because... when you get that, when you're in that part of the South Side,
yes, sir.
Especially back in the day, you could go block to block,
yeah.
And be in the middle of turf wars. It's like
true.
I live in the neighborhood. You live at 36th in Union. I live at 37th in Union. Get on your side, and that's kind of what you're dealing with. It's not a matter of black and white. It can be a matter of just from block
Irish
to block.
Irish and Irish. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's either way, it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but but
that's a great pick.
Yeah.
Do you think the reader knew about that?
I think they did.
Here's the thing about...
I think they did, but I think, when you look at the photo at Canine's, mm-hmm. you see all that, all that cultural ephemera that's all related to Richard J. Daley. You see the clock. You see these clocks with Daley's face on it. And you see all these other, Irish whiskeys. You see Richard... And the lead for this is perfectly written. Richard M.'s left office and Richard J.'s long gone... But nostalgists take comfort beneath the benevolent face of the latter at the northwest, the north side old man joined Canine's, where a daily clock lords over the bar, and you see that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's right in there, and then you've got the smaller clock right below that of Richard M. Daley. Skippy.
I don't think it's a bad pick.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a lot of people don't realize this is not committee.
Yeah.
These are all freelancers that pitched one idea, and that's exactly how I got to write for the best of issue for DC after living there for 3 months.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I don't think it's a bad pick either.
No.
But I think it's a lot easier to pick that bar than it would be Shinnick's.
Does anybody have anything more pop culture related? Something that we could all just rip the reader apart with?
The readers poll, the best Twitterer, Billy.
Thank you. Okay,
what was it?
Best Twitterer.
Best local Twitterer.
Ugh.
Billy Deck.
This is not a knock on Billy Deck.
No, let me preface with that. He's a dick.
Okay. I'm sure you have many reasons to say that. Why is Billy Deck popular? I don't know what he does. I'm not being sarcastic. I have no idea what he does.
He's a restaurateur.
What does that mean?
He owns
Rocket Ranch. He owns Sunda. He owns
Underground.
Once again, why should I know that name? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's very prolific with the name dropping.
Oh, he also had a very short TV show after SNL.
How did he get that show? What
because
was the show?
He's Billy Deck.
Okay, but you're not answering the question. Do you see what I mean? Just because you say you're famous doesn't make it worthy.
He works really hard at getting his name out there. I mean,
but for what? I don't get it. I'm not
for his restaurants, and his restaurants are where all the celebrity. When the celebrities come to Chicago, they go to his restaurants.
So he's trying
to
do like a Studio 54 thing, but on a Chicago scale, and it's more restaurant based
and with no cocaine. Or I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay,
it's a restaurant after all.
Yeah, but and he's ubiquitous. He's he's always the guy with the hat. With either a ball cap or those Jason Mraz pork pie hats.
I get that. Once again, I know how he looks. Why does anybody care?
I don't know.
I don't get it because
I don't either.
It's no different than Kardashian, but Kardashian at least you got to watch her fuck. Like it makes sense why, because you saw a dick enter her. It's okay. That's how I know why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen anybody been inside of Billy Deck, so I don't get why people care.
When I was in at the morning show,
uh-huh.
We had him on a few times. We actually had him on this one time accidentally because my boss, Johnny B, saw him during a break. He was at the station and Johnny went to the bathroom or something. He saw him in the hallway talking to him. He started walking away. Billy Deck followed him into the studio, sat down and just sat there in front of the mic, and well, he's not going to be like, hey, leave.
And there are famous stories of that for comedians and musicians and actors, but they are trying to get their talent out there.
Exactly. This guy is just he just has a restaurant. He's a dick.
I understand. He's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I'm excited I can say that.
But what's the prophecy? What's the end game for this? Now I'm just like questioning what is fame, and I know that's a stupid tangent to go on.
You're trying to tie it into fame balling, basically.
Am I? Is that what I'm doing? I'm not being sarcastic.
My
head is everywhere
right
now.
I think there is a fame ball quality to him. I mean, I think your story about him following Johnny B into the studio is perfect. And then another one was last year when he was in New York,
mm-hmm.
and that third or fourth hour of Today, uh-huh. with the drunk women.
Kathy Lee and Hoda. It's a great hour of television.
Yeah, and Billy somehow stumbles into the studio and tries out cheese made from breast milk. And all of a sudden, the folks who know Billy are tweeting it incessantly.
Billy Deck on the Today Show.
And clipping the videos. And even Billy's tweeting it, hey, I'm on the Today Show trying out breast milk cheese.
I don't know what it is about that guy. But
well, either way, it's working because four people that probably would hate the guy are talking about him. So
I wouldn't say I'd hate him. I mean, he's
fine.
He's,
I'm confused by the guy.
And it's okay to be nonplussed by him. I mean, it's totally okay. He's a shameless self promoter, but he's also a very good one. And I know he's an
ambassador for the city.
Yeah, and in the interest of fairness, he's also contacted us on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. To try to help promote some worthy causes, it's that kind of fame balling. It's like, okay, we know the face,
yeah.
But what's he famous for? But at least he's famous for, at least doing something. Yeah, at the very least, the restaurants. Which
that
is
true. He's actually has things that he didn't just trip and fall into it.
Okay.
He's a restaurant guy.
But why is that
hard work?
Why is
that
the most important Chicagoan to follow on Twitter or best?
Well, because again, that's a reader's poll. Readers are familiar with the name.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Who was runner up? Does it in front of anybody?
Why isn't Dan Sinker on that?
Exactly. Like, that to me makes the most sense.
The most Chicago-y. That's the guy that did the Mayor Emanuel.
Exactly. Either Mayor Emanuel.
Yeah, the runners up. Well, one of the runners up is Roger Ebert.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Now that one,
I follow Ebert. He's the best celebrity to follow.
And then there's one called Sears, C-Y-R-S, and I don't know who that is.
So that was probably a write-in poll type of thing.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, but Ebert. Okay, so we all agree it should have been Ebert. Ebert or Mayor Emanuel. Yeah. But now that the election's over, I could see not following
It should have been Ebert, should have been Mayor Emanuel. But I think the thing with Mayor Emanuel is that Mayor Emanuel is Mayor Emanuel is a very insidery sort of newsies thing. I mean, you know, people followed it, and I think once Sinker revealed himself to be Mayor Emanuel, that's when it became popular. But I don't think, I really think that most people, most people followed the whole Mayor Emanuel saga. Were already people inside media. They were either inside politics or inside, inside
but it did
media
something already. With the medium of Twitter that hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't even, I'm not even on Twitter, but I read those feeds.
Why aren't you on Twitter?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it seems like a culture that doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't make things happen in the world.
How is it different than, like, Facebook,
feeds
though?
Into itself. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just like, I think maybe I just am comfortable with Facebook and I'm not.
I think Twitter can be a very useful tool. Especially for media pros and media types.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been able to crowdsource a lot of pretty good stories from, from Twitter. I think, most recently the Whittier Elementary saga that's been going on in Pilsen. Mm. But it can also be a very big time waster. And you have to pick and choose the arguments and the threads that you're going through, that you're following.
Right.
I've found that I'm reading less and less books because of Twitter. As soon as I got the iPhone, as soon as I got Twitter on it, I'm no longer reading. It was where I used to read. Yeah. Every time I'm on the bus, every time I'm on the train, I'm just checking the Twitter feed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my Twitter feed's an immediate news source in the morning. So
yeah, ditto.
It's what's going on, what's happening. Right. Get through the Bored Housewives. Mm-hmm. Get through the shameless self promotion. Where's the hard?
How often do you unfollow people?
Rarely. There's so many at this point that I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Now on the Chicago's Twitter feed, there's a few that I go back and forth on. If they're spamming us online to promote something, that's an example where I would unfollow someone.
Got it.
Just keep tabs. But I think we've got over 22,000 followers on the site Twitter feed. It's hard to locate that. So,
yeah.
But it makes it easier for us to be able to crowdsource stories and find things that are interesting. To post. So
Does anybody have any picks?
Well, I have. I don't know if you guys are into it, but I kind of am. Is the Reader Chose Best Restaurant?
What is their pick?
Is next.
Next. What's
yeah?
Next?
Where that's what we're doing now, Dan.
What's next?
Next is a restaurant by what's his Grant? I don't even know.
Grant
Elliott.
Grant Atkins.
Grant Atkins.
Grant Atkins.
Grant Atkins. Who's renting apartments in Logan Square?
That's our three bedroom.
Yeah, Grant Atkins from Alinea.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the guy who does Alinea, and he does the crazy food shit.
That makes sense. Why
this restaurant? When did it open?
Oh, yeah, wait, Seth's got the early warning. Well, I'll tell you what concerts he got.
Paul McCartney, guys, Wrigley Field, sold out.
Well, damn.
It opened a few months back. It opened about 3 months ago, but here's why I agree with Sula on this. First, it's a restaurant that dabbles in culinary history. The menu changes every 3 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Menu changes
That's
every
so
three
ambitious.
Months. Yeah. So what they did with the first menu is they went back to the Escoffier cookbook, and they created a meal that would fit in with Paris at the turn of the 19th century. Paris 1906.
That's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's cool, but it's just like when you're saying best restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Is it best new restaurant or just
nope,
best restaurant?
No, best restaurant.
Best restaurant.
Well, so let's clarify. What makes it best? It's trying something new. Give it credit for that. Mm-hmm. The food probably tastes good.
I just feel like they're blowing Grant a cat.
You kind of have to, though. Who else is doing what he's doing?
Does really best restaurant have to mean you're making some crazy ass shit with smoke coming out of it?
Well, that's not what they're doing with
that's
this.
Alinea.
That's Alinea. That's also a damn good restaurant. But
By the way, let's also say you were the food and drink person at Chicago, so you do have a history in this stuff.
Yeah, okay. I do have a history of this. I think we also had the first official review of Next too, and
review.
Anthony went. Anthony Todd, our food and drink editor, was very fair.
Go away.
Very fair with the review, but he was very very glowing. So you've got the menu. The menu changes. The next menu at Next is going to be Thai food.
Really?
So whether it's going to be authentic Thai or if it's going to be a rune circa 1986, we don't know. Here's another thing that works with it. You know, is that you have you do prepaid reservations, so there's a ticketing system to get in.
Okay.
What that does is it guarantees cash flow and it guarantees covers.
Does it cost as much as Alinea?
No. It depends. It depends upon the night. Let me rephrase it. It depends upon the night. So if you're looking for a table at say 5 o'clock on a Monday, the reservations will probably be cheaper than 8 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Got it.
Yeah, but again, it's still all pre-ticketed, prepaid, and then you go. And I think, you know, for a party of two, you're probably talking about $300-$400.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh. See, I think that's what really throws me out. Like, I don't understand why food has to cost that much. I understand, like, you put the work in it and all of this, but $300 to $400? Are they made of gold?
So maybe they should have had a separate thing, best $300 a night.
Am I shitting gold
restaurant
later? And then I can go sell it as cash for gold.
I can see where you're getting at. I can see where you're both getting at. I can see where I can understand your point about just, you know, the term best for a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to quantify that by saying best restaurant at a $300 price tag or best mid-price restaurant, low ticket price restaurant, then
I think it's a fair pick.
I have an issue because there is these other ones that are so detailed, like best of something that I found in a corner out of somewhere over here.
Yeah.
And then that one's just best restaurant.
Yeah, that does seem weird. Because
it's like you could,
it seems
you
like
know,
they use the more straightforward ones for the readers to vote.
Well, was there a reader pick for best restaurant?
The reader pick for best restaurant, I believe, was Alinea.
Probably was.
But there's also the whole question of
They had best Indian, best Italian, best.
Okay, so they did all that. I think that's more than fair.
In the readers poll, not in their thing.
Well, yeah, you can't. The issue is already oversized for those of you not holding it. It's their biggest issue of the year.
But they do have best spinach pie.
Yes, well, they
but that's that's one writer pitching the story. Like best restaurant, there was a committee.
Shells.
Yeah,
I guarantee you that was a committee versus the other one was just an individual pitch.
Best fancy restaurant in Chicago was Alinea.
Okay,
so this other place doesn't qualify as fancy.
Oh, Next is definitely fancy.
Because I want to know more about this. This it seems to me a trend of like these conceptual restaurants where it's like you're going for the food, but you're also going for something. Do you know what I mean? It's like very show off.
Well, that's
like,
the whole.
Change our menu.
That's
every
the whole
months.
Ackett's Alinea experience in a nutshell. You walk, you know, from the moment you walk into those doors, and it's a narrowing passageway that leads to the dining room.
Yeah.
I mean, they're you know for essentially for anywhere from a you know 4 to 6 hour period, you're in their hands,
right?
And you have to cede control.
Yeah, you're not just eating a quick meal.
What I want
to
know is when did going out to eat become that rather than what it was.
Alinea. As soon as Alinea opened,
did they invent that?
I think when you're talking when you're looking at the rarefied era of fine dining, it's always been that way. Even with going back to Trotter and going back to La Francaise.
But it seems like people at our level know about this shit, where 20 years ago they didn't.
Well, that's because this city has exploded as a food town within the past 5 or 6 years. It's always been a good food town, but now it's getting international recognition, not just for places like Alinea and Charlie Trotter's and Blackbird, but also for you know for chefs like Stephanie Eisert at The Girl and the Goat, and you know the smaller things that Paul Kahn's doing, like Big Star.
Okay.
And, you know, and even The Publican, which is more of a smaller.
And I think Big Star is in there for best cheap eats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Like I think they did a good job with the food and drink.
Yeah.
Seth.
What?
I'm not angry.
What'd I do?
Do you have any disagreements with any other arts and culture?
I don't know. It seems to me like the whole project is kind of a little faulty because like
why is that?
Well, you know the whole idea of the theme of best and then sort of the way they go about it is like there's one method which is to have a vote of the readers and that seems faulty in a lot
why?
Of ways. Well, I mean, I don't know, like. It's like the way that open comments on a blog are
and
like
that's the same reason why we
out.
Were the best local podcast in 2010 for New City because we told all of our listeners to vote and we won and they still
we
weren't
talking about that before.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we
and they still
weren't
right about
show.
Us.
Think, you know, we were talking about that before the show. I think I think the best local blog wound up in the readers poll wound up being something called Bad Sandwich Chronicles.
Okay, but the good thing about this is
good,
yeah.
Now it's no one's going to agree that it's the best, but people are going to write about it and they're going to give that a look that they never heard about before.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the best is anything is probably just mostly we have enough fans. You should check this out. It makes sense.
Okay. I mean, I definitely checked it out.
But you know which one is my favorite in here? Best stand-up.
James Fritz.
Oh, doing a little, doing a little.
And that's why he's walking away.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
It's nice, a teaser.
It's coming up. How is homeroom going? What do you guys wish you were doing?
Well, I wish I was telling people to vote us the best new arts nonprofit that doesn't know what they're doing. But no, I mean, I think it's a great like the reader wants to like do two things at once. Like they want to name the best of Chicago, but then they also want to like alert you to things you didn't know about before. So that's why they get all these like very arcane categories, like the best urinal or the best,
which is always the mutiny.
They do have the one which is I don't know where it is, but it's like the best $25 overnight stay, which is some Korean massage place.
What?
Yeah,
there's the best $75.
You talk,
hotel.
I will look it
best
up.
$75 hotel.
It's right next to it.
Yeah. Which I tried to book. It's booked 3 months in advance.
Yeah,
that $75 room is probably booked to the end of the
it
year.
It was right next to that one.
Really?
It's some Korean place. I want to go. You get a massage and hang out in a steam room, and it's $25.
All right.
I feel that's just wrong.
It's a scary prospect to do.
Oh, it's Koreans though.
Okay, I don't know.
I feel much more comfortable with Koreans than anyone else.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're very harsh people, but I feel like they would give me my money's worth.
We just got a text from Emerson Dameron. On the way, shoot me the address. It's not like I'm doing anything right now, so I will definitely do that.
Hey, best relaxing $25 overnight stay.
That doesn't sound legal.
It's
in
Niles
way.
Called King Spawn Sauna. It's a Korean-owned, internationally patronized Jim Jill Bang. But like, that doesn't sound right.
I don't know what any of that means.
Like, where does this become just like advertising for the thing?
That is true, but now I want to fucking
just,
go there.
It's fan advertising. No one was paid to write about these places.
Okay.
So,
staff writers are doing these picks, I'm assuming. Right?
Yeah, so they just have to think of something
staff
that's not
freelancers, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. They're not going to.
And then what do they do? You pitch best soundtracks start. I don't know what this means. Best soundtrack strawberry shake. So I'm not going to read this, but someone named. But someone named Jessica Cohn pitched this little blurb to the reader, and then what did they do? Pick it from a batch of other ones?
They pitch,
other people,
usually or? With a freelancer for a situation like this, is you pitch 5 to 10 to your editor. They tell you to write X amount, you pitch that, and then that goes in print.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Okay.
The only thing that I pitched that got in.
So this is about like a time that this lady went and drank a milkshake.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like this is like take a blog post you could write and put the word best in it.
Yeah.
And then we'll print it in something called the best of
Chicago. And now you get paid $15.
Okay. And I'm also a little bitter because of their best variety comedy show.
Yeah, this is what really pisses me off. The best variety comedy show is A, not a comedy show. B, has featured like 8 reader writers on the panel.
Yeah. Are you talking paper machete?
The paper machete, yeah. Fuck them, we're better. Hands down.
Okay,
there's
so
no way around
I'm
that.
I'm okay to be better.
If they said like the interview show, I'd be like, okay, at least that's an actual like talk show comedy show. This is a bunch of intellectuals just fucking just hardcore masturbating onto each other and calling it art. It's complete
good.
Shit. I'd like to preface, I've never seen the show. I'm sure they're very fine people.
But
no,
I will
I'm just,
tell you this, every time I hear them write about it, it does sound like they're just blowing someone.
It's a lot.
The words are coming out of their mouth.
It's a different type of show, but I wouldn't. It's just a different type of show. I'll leave it at that. I shouldn't make fun of things.
I just mean the way that they talk. They're just like, it's so fucking amazing. Like, it's just God is hanging out there. And
I got a lot of unresolved anger issues with the reader, and I just really need to come to the point, like to the fact that like it's a staff of 2 people. If those 2 people don't like you, just write it off. It's not worth trying.
But you work for them.
I write for the parent company.
Okay,
but I. Every single time they've written about us, they've said it in a condescending way, or they spell my name wrong if it's nice. So no matter what, we can't use it. So it's pointless. And it's like, why are we even sending? We send you our listings every single week. They don't even publish our listings because their comedy section is maybe 2 inches big. So why are we trying? What's the point? We'll go to timeout and they'll actually consider us and they're nice about it. And they do a really good job. And even if they say we don't like you, you might like you this if this happens.
I've even gotten a phone call from them.
Yeah, they'll. But also, the timeout staff has money. They have a larger organization. The reader has been downsized every year since the last 10 years, probably. I mean, 10 years ago, the session was in four. The paper was in 4 sections. And
it was
each
the
one
old
was
gray doorstop, yeah.
Very thick, and it was great. And they had a large staff, and now it's all freelancers and two editors. There are two music editors,
right? Because then Craigslist came.
Exactly.
That's where the fourth section went.
Yeah. Well, I think with this whole redesign that we're holding, they're trying to get back to their roots as a music list rag.
Yeah.
I mean, and
but they're neglecting the theater in this city. They're neglecting the comedy in this city, where Time Out is not.
That's, it does seem like there's a division of labor going on.
And Time Out is much thinner.
I've been noticing that New City's arts writing has been really stepped up in the last few years. And like,
but
the
their listings have gone down and down and down.
Yeah, I mean, New City is not good at a whole lot. But like, I've noticed that they're trying some good writers over there. Yeah. But like, I think they're looking at like, what is the reader not doing enough of? And I mean, like, does it work this way with Chicagoists? Do you have competitors? Do you try to fill in the gaps of what they're, you know?
I think we try to fill in the gaps, but most importantly, we write about what we're interested in.
Yeah, that's the difference.
And that's the thing. I think you have to understand your audience. And one of the problems with the reader is that its audience grew old as its founders grew old.
Yeah.
And now they're trying, you know.
But you know what? Give the reader where they deserve respect. There was a great cover story about why the reader was falling apart in the reader.
Yeah.
No joke. Yeah. It was about 3 years ago. Is that correct? Ballsy. That's one guy that's like, I'm going to get fired.
But fuck it. You have like bosses that are telling you like, we have to market this as a certain kind of thing. We need more hard news. We need more food. I mean, do you have to deal with like editorial stuff coming down the line from,
my bosses in New York give us, they give me and the other editors and staff in the various cities across the network enough autonomy and free reign to be able to make it a local site within a national or an international network. And
DC colleagues are very nice. I like them quite a bit.
They
do a very good job.
Balls out work. I think the five major sites in the network, New York, DC, us, San Francisco, and LA. You read those sites and you can tell that there's a local flair to all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a distinct local flair. There's, it's not like the New York Magazine, the Grub Street sites or the Eater or the Curb sites, in those, Lockhart Steel, based, networks in which, we'll augment, our local stories with major stories from the other major sites and things like that. I mean, we do have the one best of post on Sundays, but that's it.
I got to wrap this up so Amy could play, but I just want to say Chicagoist is doing the thing that the reader should be doing, which is focusing more on online content.
Well,
doesn't cost anything.
That's one thing I asked Mara Shaloup when they launched the redesign. Yeah, I think that they've got a damn good editor in her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, you having, written for and dealt with Creative Loafing before, she's gone through a lot of the same, much of the same stuff that the reader's been going through in recent years.
Yeah.
And she's probably gone through harder times, having to deal with it in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And she's got, I think she wants, I think she sincerely wants to bring that, make the paper focus on what it does well.
Yeah.
And it's always done music well. It's always done things like food.
I would disagree.
Well.
Okay. I think they've always done food and drink well. I will give you that. Yeah. You know what they do? They kill it on film. Their film section is second to none.
Yeah.
Music, I completely disagree. That's the section where if you don't like one of two people don't like you, you're done.
Yeah.
If you can't convince the Garage Rock fan and Jessica Hopper, you're done. If she thinks you're sexist like Daniel Knox, who's the best goddamn songwriter in the city, you're not going to get a kind word said about you. Mm-hmm. He did a fucking 2-hour interview with her. First question, how old are you and where do you live? 30 and not Logan Square. Guess what? No fucking ink.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Yeah. He is the best goddamn songwriter in the city. NPR loves him. You guys love him. If you don't, you fucking should. And that's it. And yet he can't get any love from the fucking reader? Fuck you. Time Out will run your goddamn photo of an ugly man, okay? He is not an attractive man. He's my favorite man in the city playing music. That's how you do it. It's not a popularity contest, but there it still is in music, and that's why I have a problem with it. Now, I could say that and say in DC it's totally different.
Yeah.
I am able to write about shit that my editor fucking hates. Not in Chicago, because there's two fucking people, and that's not the reader's fault. Those are two critics I don't like. Mm-hmm. Fuck them. And they have too much goddamn power. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I say this, though? The reader's got a great crossword.
They do.
They've got a
fantastic crossword.
This is complimentary, right? I can take this with me.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
They've got a damn good crossword, but I still think that the canary in the coal mine at the reader, if you're going to be gauging any other future service cuts or anything, it's going to be Michael Miner. Michael Miner's done a damn good job of chronicling what's been happening at the Reader over the years.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I've long thought that as he goes, so does the Reader. I think he's its heart and soul.
It's kind of weird talking about the downfall of one thing and the rise of another, but it's still a very, very great media city.
Yeah.
It's just that there's no fucking money to be here, and that's why I don't live here anymore, and it sucks. It really
sucks. Right.
Where 10 years ago... 10 years ago, if the Trip still had the budget they had, I'd still live here. But that's not a possibility. So goodbye, Chicago, and that sucks. On an awful note, Seth, let's plug some stuff.
Homeroom starts our fall semester at the Hungry Brain with Britney Spears 101. It's our lecture series. If you know Liz Mason from Quimby's, she's going to give a great talk about...
She is a Britney expert. That is
not
a joke.
She's a Britney expert.
She's a big fan. It's all out of sincerity.
Yeah, no, I mean... The whole idea of our 101 lecture series is to have serious lectures about not serious topics. And so
favorite, probably everyone's favorite, Juggalos.
That was a very popular one.
Yes.
That was a right place at the right time.
I like the Hobos.
The Hobos was very popular.
That opened my
eyes. We did some song poems. We did some on a lot of different subjects.
You've ran the gamut.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's on August 9th and at the Hungry Brain. Thanks to Brandon.
Oh, stop. You're great. Homeroomchicago.com?
Org.
Yep. Homeroomchicago.org. That's very good, easy to navigate site. Chuck.
As always, please read us, early.
Chicagoist.com.
Chicagoist.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Chicagoist. Or, subscribe to our Facebook page as well. I mean, I think the Facebook page has become a really good opportunity for us to promote the stories that are really generating the most commentary these days. And freaky, but really read us early, read us often.
I highly recommend both. Thank you guys so much for doing it. That's gonna almost conclude the nice person hour. Amy, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Amy Soraya is going to play to end the nice people hour. We're gonna set her up, so stick around. Amy Soraya?
Yes.
Thanks for doing this. You're gonna play three songs?
Yes.
To end the nice people hour? Hour 9 of Sabado Gigante.
I'll try to be nice.
You are one of the nicest. You're one of our favorites, and you're playing for the first time. I've seen you solo.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't at that show because I don't live here. So it's going to be very fun, and thanks for doing this.
Yeah,
without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Amy Soraya.
Carbon date time. Does that mean you'll know?
thank you. Thank you so much. That was a song called Archaeologist off of my last album. I'm going to do a new song. It's called I'm Pregnant. Song. I normally play with a band, Amy, Sarai, and the Outcome. We're playing at Shuba's July 14th. You should come on out. And this is Cattle Prod Hams. Well, they tortured me with the cattle prod hams. I'm lost to the world in this red-tape soldier band.
Amy,
yes?
You did something no one else was able to do, and that was maintain a crowd.
Damn. Yay.
Good job. Time to plug.
Time to plug. Oh, yeah, I already plugged a little. So I've got a band, Amy Stry and the Outcome. You can check us out at www.amystry.com. We've got a show July 1st, actually July 14th at Shuba's.
Should be good. You like Shuba's?
Yes, actually.
It's a good room for you.
It's a great place to play. We did our EP release show there in March. And
good.
It was amazing. But not as great as the Hungry Brain.
Thank you. Good job kissing ass. Amy Soraya, thanks so much for doing it. Hour 9 is done now.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.